Paul's letter to the Philippians, the second chapter, a familiar passage of Scripture about the name of Jesus. You know, when the world asks, what makes a Christian different? Aren't there lots of religions in the world? Aren't they all good religions? Don't the people all live pretty good lives generally? What is different about a Christian? There's only one thing that's importantly different about a Christian. That is Jesus Christ. What we believe about Jesus, what we know to be true about Jesus, is the thing that distinguishes the Christian faith from every other religion in the world. The person and the name of Jesus. Beginning to read in chapter 2, verse 5. Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, whereof God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Praise the Lord. Could you say praise the Lord? I don't know about you, but that just ministers to me. That ministers to me right down in here, right down in here where I live. That Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just bow your heads in prayer for a moment. Let's just thank God for his anointing upon his word. Father, we thank you for what Jesus said, that your words are spirit and life. And we thank you, Lord, for your promise to always have your anointing upon your word. We thank you this morning, Father, that as your word goes forth, that it will prosper in the thing for which you send it forth. And it will not return unto you void, but it will in fact bear fruit, because it's the living, alive word of God. We thank you, Father, for that promise, that as we declare the word, that you will prosper it in the lives and the hearts of those that hear it. Now, Father, we're thankful also for the enabling that you give by the person of your Holy Spirit to interpret the word, to proclaim it, to declare it in power and in truth and in clarity. And I give you praise for all that which you do this morning in Jesus' lovely and mighty name. Amen. You know, we've been singing all morning about the name of Jesus. We pray in the name of Jesus. You come into a Christian church service and you hear over and over again about the name of Jesus. You hear about the name of Jesus in the hymns. You hear about the name of Jesus all through the Word of God, all through the Scripture. Well, what's so important about a name anyway? Everybody has a name. I've got a name. You've got a name. You've got a name. Every person has a name. What's so all-fired important about a name? It's pretty common, isn't it? It's very common, in fact. There's something terribly important about the name of a person, and especially about the name of Jesus. And I want us to get a hold of that this morning, and trust the Spirit of God to give us revelation on it today as we hear the word proclaimed. Think with me for a minute, how do we name our own children? One of the first things we do when we know that we're pregnant is we develop a name for the child, don't we? Isn't that one of the first things that we want to do? Someone, you hear that a friend or a relative is with child, and you say, whoa, what are you going to name him? Or what are you going to name her? It's very important, this name. But you know how most folks name their children today? Most folks in the world particularly name the child perhaps after some fashionable name. You know, there are trends in names. And you have kind of a rash of Chads. And then that name loses its fashion, and then you have a rash of Todds. And then you have a rash of Scotts or Jeffs or names like that. And with the girls, you remember for a long time it was everybody was named Cindy. And then everybody was named Christy. And then everybody was named Melissa. And then Felicia got to be a name. See, it sounded real good. It was fashionable. And people then began to name their children on the basis of what it sounds like, whether it's fashionable. Some folks might name their children on the basis of a name of a relative or a close friend, somebody that's been important to them. Even in Christian circles, perhaps developing the name out of the Word of God based on Bible characters. In the hopes that the child will grow into the nature of the person after whom he or she has been named. Is that not the way we name our children? But you know, in the Bible, the name that was given to people in Bible times was terribly important. Very, very important. The name that was given to men and women in the Bible signified their position or their function or their relationship to someone else, or perhaps it contained a hope or a prophecy. It maybe spoke to some attribute that the child was to have or had already demonstrated that it had. The name that was given to children in Bible times was very important. Now let me just give you a few examples. The very first man that was ever given a name was given the name by God Almighty. And his name was called Adam. Now, do you suppose that God just kind of picked this name? Well, I think Adam would be a good fashionable name, and it sounds good. It's only got two syllables. It'll go real good, on applications and so on, and take up too much space. And so we're going to call him Adam. It's only got three letters in it, so it'll be easy for him to learn how to write it. You see, it's got A, D, and F. It's a good, easy name. I'll name him Adam. No, that's not the way God chose to name his created man, Adam. The word Adam means literally of the ground. It means to be taken out of the red earth. You know, when I read that, I thought maybe God created Adam here in Georgia. Take him out of the red earth. The word Adam, the name Adam, means literally taken out of the ground or taken out of the earth. The second person that was ever named was Eve. And Adam named her. And he named her Eve, you find over there in Genesis 3:20, because she was the mother of all living. She was the mother of all human life. And the word Eve literally means living or life. When God called a man when he began to reveal his purpose and when he called a man with whom he could make a covenant, the man he called, his name was Abram. But as he called that man into covenant relationship with him, he changed his name. And he called him, instead of Abram, he called him Abraham, which literally means high father. And Abraham, you see, God declared, the father of many nations have I made you. And he called him Abraham. If you'll read the story about Moses, and you remember that it was not Moses' mother that named him Moses, but rather the princess that drew him out of the water called him Moses. And the scripture declares that the reason she named him Moses was that that word Moses meant to be drawn out or born. Because she drew him out of the water, and she called him Moses. Jacob was named Jacob the supplanter, which is what that word means, because he was the one, you remember, that was born second behind Esau, his twin brother, and as he came forth from the womb, the Bible records that he had his hand on his brother's heel, trying to hold him back so he could be firstborn. And his mother named him the supplanter, Jacob. And when the angel of the Lord wrestled with Jacob all that night, You remember the story there in Genesis 34, I believe it is, where Jacob and the angel of God wrestled all night, till the angel of God finally brought Jacob into submission by touching him on his thigh. And God changed his name and called him Israel, which means literally Prince of God, one who strives with God and prevails. And we see this all through the Word of God, from the very first man, from the first Adam, and I think we could assume that the last Adam would have a name also that was based, you see, on something other than that it was nice and short and five letters long would be easy to write or sounded good. Even the name of God himself has eternal significance. I want to read this for you out of the book of Exodus. You remember the passage there in the third chapter, I believe it is, where Moses spoke to God in the bush. And the Lord said, Moses, I've chosen you as my servant to go into the land of Egypt and to cause my people to be set free from their bondage. Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? In other words, what am I going to call you? I know that you're real. They're going to ask me, Who sent you? What's your name? God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me unto you. The name in the Hebrew is Jehovah, which is the word from the verb to be, which means eternally existent. I've always been. God said, I am. There's no beginning in me and there's no ending in me. I am the Lord God Jehovah. I am that I am. God has a name. He has given names to all of these people in the Scripture that are descriptive of who they are, that are descriptive of their person. Something very interesting that I discovered, I never really thought about it this way, but the word that is used in the New Testament, the Greek word that is used for name, is the word onoma, which means literally the name or the thing which a person is called, which distinguishes him from everyone else. There is one thing that is distinguishing about every person, and that is his name. There is one thing that utterly distinguishes one person from another, that is his name. The name of God distinguishes him from any other being. The name of Jesus distinguishes him also from any other being, the same as it is in your own situation. The name is the same as the person himself. In the New Testament, we're told that many believed in him, in Jesus. We're told in almost the same verse, many believed on his name. To believe in the name of a person is to believe in him. The name and the person himself are inseparable. Now let's draw a modern analogy to that. Your house or your property or anything that you own, what do you say about it, about its ownership? You say, it's in my name. I have my house in my name. And when you sign your name to a contract to sell it, what do? You release it from your possession. When you sign your name on a contract to buy it, you acquire it. It becomes yours. You and your name are the same. And when you put your signature on a document, it's the same as if you were there. Now let's think about this for just a minute. You're living in Atlanta, and you want to sell a house that's here in Atlanta. And you want to sell it to someone who is in Chicago. If you sign a contract to sell your house in Atlanta and mail it to Chicago, your name represents you, doesn't it? Does your name not do the same thing for you as if you were there personally? You and your name are one. God and his name is one. Your name represents your position, your rank, your authority. We have an expression today where we say, just mention my name. Just tell them that Vic sent you. Just tell them that Job sent you. Just mention my name. They'll know who you are. Now some of you are saying, well now Vic, where are you going with all this? Where are you going? What are you doing with all of this? What I want you to see is that the name of a man represents him, everything he is, and everything that he owns is contained or represented in his name. He and his name are the same. It can be said of a man, he has a good name. What does it mean? It means he's a trustworthy man. If his name is good, he's good. If his name isn't any good, he's no good. You can depend upon a man who has a good name. His name represents everything that he is. Why else would God have placed so much importance on his own name that he took one of the Ten Commandments to say, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain? For I will not hold him guiltless who taketh my name in vain. God will not have a man or a woman take his name in vain. His name is precious to him. His name is important to him. When you take the name, or anybody takes the name of God in vain, you curse God himself. He blasphemes God himself. You cannot play around with the name of God, you see, and use it indiscriminately. God says, thou shalt not take my name in vain, for I will not hold him guiltless. That's why it's so important. That's why it's so critical. That's why it hurts your spirit so much when you're around someone that curses the name of Jesus Christ. That's why it hurts you so bad when somebody uses the name of God in a curse or a blaspheming way. Because it represents everything that God is. And if you can stand around the cursing and the blaspheming of God's name or the name of Jesus and it does not hurt you in the spirit, there's something wrong with the inside of you. If you have the Spirit of God on the inside of you, the Spirit of God will tell you that isn't right. The Spirit of God will make you uncomfortable in the presence of the blasphemy of God's holy name. He says, thou shalt not take my name in vain. It's important. Jesus said, when the disciples said, Lord, teach us how to pray, he said, our Father, hallowed be thy name. Holy is the name of God. Holy and hallowed, not common, is the name of God. It's special. Because when you speak the name of God, when you speak the name of the Lord Jesus, you speak his person and all that he is and all that he stands for and all that he represents is in his name. That's why it's important that we not take his name uncommonly, that we not handle his name uncommonly, that we handle it with reverence because it represents all that he is. Jesus said to his disciples, or said to his Father in the 17th chapter of John, just before he went to the cross, he said, Father, I have declared my name unto them. What did he mean? That he told them what God's name was? No. He meant, I have shown you to them. I have declared who you are and what you are to all the people that thou hast given me. I have declared thy name. I have declared your authority. I have declared everything that you represent. I have shown forth and manifested God unto them and unto my disciples. That's what he meant. Now Jesus had a name. Jesus had a name. Some Christians know the importance of the name of Jesus. Some know only to speak it by rote. The name of Jesus was given to him, was earned by him, and was inherited by him. It's important for us to know what is in his name and how he got it. The name of Jesus, God says, is above every name. Every name that is named in heaven, on the earth, and below the earth, there is no name as high or higher than the name of Jesus. We ought to know how he obtained his name. Follow me in the scriptures, if you will. First of all, turn to the book of Hebrews. The first chapter of the book of Hebrews, beginning in the first verse. First of all, the scripture tells us that Jesus obtained his name by inheritance. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. You see there that God hath appointed his Son heir, who being the brightness, verse 3, of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God the Father, and he has obtained his name by inheritance, by family relationship, by direct inheritance from God Almighty himself. And he has a name that is higher than any of the angels. He has obtained, you see, by inheritance, by right, as being the Son of God, a name higher than any other name. All that God is, Jesus is. Everything that you know about God, Jesus is all that too. Everything that God the Father and God Almighty is Jesus. Jesus was God revealed to us in the flesh, was he not? In the Old Testament, over and over and over again, God is referred to as Lord. The word in the Hebrew literally is Jehovah. In our King James Version, it's translated Lord, because the Hebrews didn't like to use the name of God. It was too holy. Here today, we walk into a supermarket and you hear God's name taken in vain 10, 20, 30 times before you walk out of the supermarket. But in Bible days, in Old Testament days, the name of God, Jehovah, was so holy that even his people wouldn't speak the name for fear that they would blaspheme it in some way. And they used the name Lord, the Hebrew word for Lord, to declare who God was. He was Lord. Now in the New Testament, who's called Lord? Jesus. In the passage of Scripture that we just read, that every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. What? That Jesus Christ is Lord. That Jesus Christ is God himself. That he has inherited his name from God the Father. And everything God is, Jesus is. So first of all, Jesus has his name by inheritance, by right of family relationship to God the Father. Secondly, the name of Jesus was given to him by conquest, or was obtained by conquest. When Jesus left the cross of Calvary, he went into the pits of hell, and while he was there, he defeated Satan and all of his demon powers. He broke the power of Satan. He broke the power of sin. He broke the power of sickness. He broke the power of the nature of Satan over all of the creation of God. He won his name by conquest. Turn with me to Paul's letter to the Colossians, the second chapter, in the 15th verse. We'll look at just a couple of references here on this particular subject. Colossians 2, verse 15. And having spoiled, this word spoiled means literally having put off from himself. In other words, having thrown off, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. He defeated Satan in his own place. He beat the devil on his own home ground, and he threw him off of him and made a show of him openly. In the 14th verse of the second chapter of Hebrews, we're told that Jesus Christ destroyed him that had the power of death. That he literally destroyed him that had the power of death. That is the devil. In the 18th verse of the first chapter of the book of Revelation, we're told that Jesus said, I am alive. I'm the one that liveth forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of hell. In other words, he said, I win. I win. I'm the conqueror. I'm the one that has beaten all the powers of hell. No more shall they have any power over you. I have conquered death and sin for you. I have won my name by conquest. Isn't it any wonder that he could say to the women on the road there outside the tomb as the women were going to Jerusalem the day of his resurrection, and he stood before them and he said, all hail. All hail, he said. All hail. All hail. And he said to his disciples, all authority in heaven and in earth has been given unto me. All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Jesus Christ won his name not only by inheritance, but also by conquest. He won. He entered into battle on the enemy's own grounds, and he beat him. He won. Thirdly, the name of Jesus was conferred on him by God the Father. And we saw that in the passage of Scripture that we read out of Philippians. In the 9th verse, Paul wrote, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. He hath given him a position above anyone else and given him a name. Has conferred upon him a name. And the word there that is translated a name, literally in the Greek, that's a definite article, and it's not really a, it's the. God has conferred upon Jesus Christ the name. Not just any old name, the name. The name that was reserved for that man that would do what Jesus Christ did. The name at which every knee would bow and every tongue would confess that that man was Lord. And God gave it to Jesus. He gave it to Jesus because he'd earned it, because he merited it. God gave his name to Jesus in just the same way that you husbands give your name to your wife. When you marry a woman, what do? You become one with her. You give her even your name. You become one, united together, and she carries your name. God conferred on the Lord Jesus the name. The name that is above every name. And all authority in heaven and in earth is given unto that name. All power in heaven and in earth is given to that name. All ability in heaven and in earth is given to that name. So you ask the question, why do I hear you all talking about Jesus so much? Why do I hear you saying Jesus, Jesus, Jesus? What do you mean when you say Jesus, 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 or something about that name? What do you mean when you sing praise the name of Jesus? What do you mean when you say, blessed be the name of Jesus? All authority in heaven and in earth has been given unto that name. But that's only half the good news. The other half didn't take me as long to tell you. The other half is, he has given that name to you and to me to use. Jesus Christ has given his name unto everyone that believes on him and trusts in his name. We have the right to use his name. And when we speak the name of Jesus, he is right there in person. Do you understand what I'm telling you? He's here. The name of Jesus. He's here. He's right here. He's right here now. The disciples had Jesus in the flesh. We have his name. We have his name and all that that is. And when you speak to circumstances in the name of Jesus, they dry up. When you speak to sin in the name of Jesus, it disappears. When you speak to the devil in the name of Jesus, he runs like a scalded dog. He doesn't have any choice. I don't care whether he wants to or not. The name of Jesus is above every name. There isn't any other name that's as high as his. You speak the name of Jesus. If you don't know anything else about your rights in Jesus Christ, know that you have the right to speak his name. Say his name. If you don't know how to pray, you just say, Jesus, 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 Jesus. If you don't know how to fight, you say, Jesus, 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 Jesus. You understand what I'm trying to tell you?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The power of God is in his name. It's in his name. When you speak the name of Jesus in faith, all heaven stands at attention. All heaven, every angel of God stands at attention on your behalf when you speak Jesus' name in faith. When you speak the name of Jesus, everything that's in hell begins to tremble and shake. They begin to shudder and shake at the name of Jesus. They can't stand. And if you want a weapon that you can use against the devil, and if you want a weapon that you can use against the circumstances of life that he would use to come against you, if you want a weapon to use against his work in your flesh, this is it. Jesus has given it to you. It's his name. And you don't have to know any theology. Only know his name. And speak it in faith. Believing in the power and the authority that's vested in that name. When you pray in his name, by golly, you get results because God hears your prayer. When you enter into his gates in the name of Jesus, you walk right before God the Father, just like Jesus is. When you speak that name, you call God on the scene. You call God Almighty on the scene. That name, that name. Do you see the wonderful privilege that we have in the church of Jesus Christ today? Do you see why the devil would try to get the name of Jesus locked away in a book? Do you see why in the church of Jesus Christ today that the word of God in the name of Jesus is not proclaimed? You can go into lots of churches, never hear the name of the Lord Jesus. You can be there all Sunday morning, never hear his name mentioned. Never hear his name mentioned. There's power in that name of Jesus. There's power in it. Speak that name. Learn to speak it in prayer. Learn to speak it in faith. All the authority that the Lord Jesus Christ has is vested in that name. And he has given us that name to use. We have the right to use it. Just like you wives have the right to use your husband's name. You have the right to sign your name. Mrs. So-and-so, we have the right to sign our name in the name of Jesus in the same way. And you see the same power and the same influence and the same, it's all there. You see, we're joined one with him. We have so much more going for us, even than the people in the Bible had, except from Acts on, of course. Praise the name of the Lord. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the glorious name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, for giving unto him that name, which is above every name. And that at his name, everything in heaven, everyone in heaven, everything in person in earth, everyone under the earth must bow and confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord for the glory of God the Father. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving us the privilege to use his name. For it's in Jesus' name that we thank you. Amen.